Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Going on with this PGA stuff? I'm just kind of tuning into it. But now you have the PGA Tour suspending all players taking part. Now, okay, I know I'm going to sound like an idiot here. Is it live or live? Or L-I-V? What is it? Brady, you're an idiot. I'm going to call it live until somebody tells me different. What is it, live? Is that what we're saying? PGA Tour suspends all players taking part in the first LIV Live Golf Tournament. Stapler to the first person to text me what that's right. The PGA Tour has suspended the 17 members who are competing in the inaugural Live Golf International Series event. It announced Thursday. Players who resigned their membership before starting the live golf live. Is it live? Can you help me out, Jades? The Live Golf event being held outside London that began Thursday are also no longer eligible to compete in tour events or the President's Cup. How about that? Now, I'm still kind of breaking into all of this here, but it's a very intriguing story, and one would wonder, okay, it's different than the NFL, right? You wouldn't expect Patrick Mahomes to also go play in an arena league or something. These are not necessarily organizations where the players just belong to the PGA. In my mind, and again, I could be blind on some of this stuff. It is different. Here's what the quote said from the PGA. Here's what their statement was. These players have made their choice for their own financial-based reasons, but they can't demand the same PGA Tour membership benefits, considerations, opportunities, and platform as you. The expectation disrespects you, our fans, and your partners. You have made a different choice, which is to abide by the tournament regulations you agreed to when you accomplished the dream of earning a PGA Tour card. And more importantly, to compete as part of the dominant organization in the world of professional golf. Is it live or live?
Give.
Okay, so it's live?
Yep.
Okay, fantastic. Eastside Chris, I appreciate J-Dog's input, especially hockey, wondering where he stands on the new Live Golf Tour versus the PGA. Should they be allowed to play in different gigantic golf tournaments? It's like telling an Olympic athlete they can't go compete at regular events throughout the year, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if in their contract it says that they're PGA exclusive. If so, then obviously, I mean, it's unfortunate that they're restricted to only PGA events, but at the end of the day, it's their careers. I mean, they still are trying to pull in money, and golf is not the lucrative of sports, so...
Unless you're like the top dog, right? Like, you guys, that's the only way you're going to really make big money is being one of those top golfers.
Right, yeah. So I have no problem with people competing in it. I mean, it's better for golf, I think, too. I mean, it's getting to be more worldwide, which is what every sport should strive to do. But I'm a fan of it. I think I don't know enough about it to have a really strong opinion, but first glance, like, go for it. I mean, it's your money, your career at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. No question. I mean, that's what's weird to me. Originally, I thought, well, if you belong to the PGA Tour, I guess you're signing with the PGA, and that's your, but you also have to make the cut, too, right? So it's different than the NFL, it's different than the NBA. I don't expect these players to go play in different leagues and such, but these are different tournaments. Different tournaments throughout the year. So I don't have an issue with this at all. What are your thoughts on this one? All right, Jades, we need to, we got to get to this one today in the NFL. This is I'm shocked that this one got done with the Rams. But yeah, let's get to it. Cooper Kupp, man, how about that? He gets a deal with the Los Angeles Rams. They reach a three-year, $80 million extension They signed wide receiver Cooper Kupp, 3-year, $80 million contract extension. According to Adam Schefter, it includes $75 million guaranteed and is worth $110 million over the 5 years of the deal, sources said. It's the highest amount of guaranteed money ever given to an NFL receiver. So the guarantee is the big deal. And again, that's what it is with all of this, with all of these deals. A video tweeted out by the Rams, Cooper Kupp expressed his excitement over the deal. He now has the most guaranteed money or given to any NFL receiver. He narrowly beat out Tyreek Hill for the most guaranteed money ever given to an NFL wide receiver. So Cooper, $75 million. Tyreek Hill, $72.2 million. Stephon Diggs, $70 million. And Devontae Adams, $65.7 million. Who's the best receiver in the league? Is it Cooper Kupp? I don't think it's Tyreek Hill. I think it's Cooper or Devontae in my mind.
I think going into this season, it has to be Cooper Kupp after the numbers that he just put up. But I also am, I don't know. My dad and I, we've always had this thing for years. I mean, whenever someone signs a humongous contract, the next season they either underperform or get hurt. And it's a theme that I don't think gets a lot of attention, but it's like after looking at it for several years, like it happens quite often.
Yeah, well, it's true. I mean, so what do you think? Do you think he's going to have a step back? He doesn't seem like the kind of guy. I mean, this is like the same dude no matter what. He is just a hard-working wide receiver.
Oh, yeah, and I read a report that he spends 6 hours daily in season just watching film and reflecting on what he could have done differently, and I don't think it's necessarily a thing to do with any of his performance ability. I think it has to do with injury. I mean, his career has been riddled with injuries.
They use him so much too,
in several, like in a blocking manner, receiving, like,
and he's
everything.
Going over the middle like crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is, and he's just a hard. I mean, it was Cooper Kupp. They could not stop him. They knew the ball was going to him, but he just bodied those cornerbacks in such a way where they couldn't get in front of him. They could not guard this guy. Well, think about the top wide receivers then. Is Cooper there? He's got to be close. You got what? Devontae Adams. Tyreek Hill's there. I'll be really interested to see how he does in Miami. With Tua as his quarterback. Hopkins has got to be in that mix. Jamar Chase is already like right there. He's stud. He's one of those guys. Deebo Samuel's not really a traditional wide receiver, but Stephon Diggs is there. Cooper's and Justin Jefferson out of Minnesota too. How do we forget about Justin Jefferson? Cooper's pretty close, dude. I'd say he's the best receiver in the league right now. Justin Jefferson's probably. He's close. Devontae Adams, though, is ridiculous, too. Another guy I'll be curious to see how he does with a new environment and a new quarterback. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. Dang, Brady, you beat me to the punch again. The number of holes they play. Oh, okay. You're talking about the golf thing still. Feel sorry for Dustin Johnson. He took the money so his family can live when he retires. Don't most people go play golf after retiring? I don't know enough about this, but it is kind of, it's just ridiculous to me, that PGA thing, to be honest. It's crazy. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Okay, the competition of a lifetime, Jades. It is something unlike anything you're ever going to see in your life. It's going to be fantastic. Drew Lock and Geno Smith going at it in a quarterback battle, quarterback competition. Oh, my goodness. Drew Lock is bouncing back. He just left Denver. He was thrown away. He was cast aside from the Broncos. And now he's going with another guy that is very forgettable, and Geno Smith. This is the competition that we needed, isn't it? Drew Lock. Big article from Pro Football Talk. Drew Lock trying to apply lessons from the 2021 competition to this year's competition. He's a survivor, man. He is a survivor. Okay, all right. All right. You're not with me on this weird little train of mine, are you, about Drew Lock? I think he's going to turn it around. Got to be out Geno Smith first. Dude, I'm telling you, people hate me for this. You guys hate my Drew Lock take. I don't have many hooligans that agree with me on this. But Vic Fangio didn't want the guy. He didn't want him. He did everything in his power to not set him up for success. I don't know why, but that's the way it was.
Well, and what I think is kind of crazy is how honestly similar the Seattle offense is. I mean, they have an okay tight end. I mean, now they have Noah Fant again, so he'll have that chemistry. But he has two good wide receivers in DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. And that's similar to what the Broncos had. I mean, they had they didn't have a great receiver like DK Metcalf, but I mean, I see a lot of similarities. I mean, if
DK, man,
I think he's got a better receiving core almost with Seattle.
I'm just, there's something there, and I know you guys have been at me on this for a while, but there's something there. And what did Kevin just tell us, talking about David Roddy, about how important it is to find the right fit? That is so important in the NFL. Quarterbacks that are very talented go to the wrong organization. Look at how many quarterbacks have went to Jacksonville and to New York Jets. And, you know, and if they go somewhere else, maybe their career's different. I mean, weird example, but Matt Stafford goes from an average maybe a little better than average quarterback to a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Not tier one, though. Go check my tiers at thewholeshow.com. Drew Lock, listen, I'm a realist as well. He is in tier four. He is in my tier four of quarterbacks, meaning I haven't seen enough, and I haven't. We've seen one full season with this guy. One full season of Drew Lock. And last year was just choppy. It was weird. He wasn't given any chance to succeed. Vic wanted Teddy Bridgewater so that they could be safe and kick field goals and then play defense. He didn't want a risk taker. He didn't want to work with the risk. Hell, your head coach wasn't even watching the quarterback competition, bro. He wasn't there. He was overwatching the defense. Locke told reporters yesterday that he tried to compare himself to Teddy Bridgewater while the two players were vying for the job in Denver, and that it is not good for your process of becoming a better quarterback to do that. Well, because the two guys are so different. This is why it was bizarro world. This is the one knock that I have on George Payton. His only blemish so far is signing Teddy Bridgewater. Sign a quarterback that's at least comparable to Drew Lock. You go with two totally different guys. Of course Vic's going to go with the safe option. He was Mr. Safe, at least on the offensive side. There's something about it, man, that makes me think he's going to turn it around. Next year, does that mean he'll be a tier three, tier two? I don't listen. I think there's something there. He needs the right staff behind him. He needs the right environment. It didn't work here. Not every there's a lot of quarterbacks that don't. It doesn't matter the environment you go to. Those are called the greats. Those are called the goats. Peyton Manning can come to Denver and still be a Super Bowl guy. Tom Brady can go to Tampa Bay and still be a Super Bowl guy. Russell Wilson probably will do the same thing. But I do think that there are certain quarterbacks that are, and Drew Lock's never going to be a tier one quarterback. But there are certain guys that are in that world of tier three, tier two, where the environment really matters. There's guys like Manning and Brady that create the environment, and there's guys like Drew Lock that need to be in a better environment, and at least for now. But it is funny. It's probably the least exciting quarterback battle, maybe ever. What was more exciting? Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Lock and Geno Smith? What was the more exciting quarterback battle? Let's do that as a Twitter poll. Jades, what do you think?
Well, we don't know what the battle's going to look like.
Well, yeah, but just the idea of it.
Oh, okay. Well, I think, to me, it's got to be this one. I feel like they're more comparable quarterbacks, and with Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock, I feel like they're... Vic Fangio's mind was already made up.
I think you're absolutely right. His mindset was already done. He was already decided that it was going to be Teddy Bridgewater. He handled that thing. That was the worst way to handle a quarterback battle. I've never seen it so poorly done. 18 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a quick break. Before we do, shout out to On the Rocks Liquor, bringing us our game beer of the week. This one's from Horse and Dragon in Fort Collins. It's called Adventure on IPA. Pick up selections from Horse and Dragon Brewing or any of your favorite adult beverages. They got the drive-thru that's open until midnight. Love On the Rocks Liquor. John and Tony. Husband and wife duo that run the show, local people that get it. They've been with us forever. Do me a favor, if you like the whole show, stop by On the Rocks Liquor. They also got free tastings coming up tomorrow, Fridays, 4 to 7. They're tasting Monaco cocktails in a can. They're going to have Monaco cocktails in a can. They'll be on hand there as well. All right, 19 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Quick break coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios.
Insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Twenty-four minutes after the hour. Welcome back to The whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Dude, you're going with a little Disturbed there. I like it, Jades. That's wonderful work. The Good Morning NoCo guys had a poll question today. The most overrated artist of all time? And I got on the show to talk about it. And we got like hooligans coming out of nowhere criticizing me, saying Brady probably likes Korn. I do like Korn. Have you ever heard of Korn?
I have. I couldn't tell you a single song, but I've heard of
him. Oh, dude.
But who? What was your answer? I have to know.
Queen.
Ooh.
You played a Queen song earlier. And it's not that I don't like Queen. I like Queen. I'm just saying that every song was written for a commercial. Like, that pisses a lot of Queen fans off, bro, but it's true. Like, I feel like they got in the studio and they're like, yeah, that'll be great to play at the ball games. I'm not saying that like Freddie Mercury's not deep or anything. I want to see that movie, actually, and maybe I'll change my mind. But it just feels like most of their songs you watch on an iPod commercial. Or whatever. There was a bunch of them. There's tons of Queen songs that are just all over the place. And I think the Beatles are a little overrated, too. Oh, does that hurt? Does that make people, you don't care? Do you even know who the Beatles are? Do you even know who Queen is?
Yeah, I know who Queen is, and I know who the Beatles are. It's just,
what's your answer?
Don't give me trivia about it.
What's your answer? Who's the most overrated?
I'd have to think about it. I don't know off the top of my head.
Top of your head. Just go. Who is it?
I don't know. Off the top of my head, Led Zeppelin.
You're not going to get a lot of arguments from me on that. I'm not a big Zeppelin guy. I like their lyrics more than I like their actual music, meaning I like, if you read their lyrics, they're pretty freaking awesome. But I'm not like, oh, Zeppelin, let's go.
I think Linkin Park is overrated,
too. They're not. I don't even think they're overrated. Like, not a lot of people listen to Linkin Park, do they? I don't know. That makes me sad. But listen, there's a difference between overrated and not liking them, too. Like, I think when you say a band is overrated, people just assume you don't like them. It's not that I don't like Queen. There's some songs where I'm into. But most of their songs are like, everyone's like, oh, they're so deep. And maybe they are. But a lot of their songs are written for the Super Bowl and for ball games, high school games that you're going to. And then somebody threw this at me and said, AC/DC. I'm like, oh, don't touch AC/DC. I know they're overplayed. I know it. But man, AC/DC is one of those bands for me that could do no wrong.
Yeah,
they could
the
do
best.
No wrong. Any song they sing is awesome. Every single song that they put out is amazing.
I can understand if he's saying it in like a standpoint where a lot of their songs have similar chords and whatnot.
Oh, there's no doubt. That's true.
But
it's
like,
very
if it ain't broke, don't fix
right.
it.
Dude, AC/DC's my guilty pleasure. I love rock music, and I like, I mean, tons of different types of rock music. But that's one that I listen to, and the lyrics are a little raunchy and stuff. That I don't care. Because they're that good that I'm like, I don't care that this song's about whatever. It's just ridiculously good. That was a fun poll question. No question. Jethro Tull. Do you know who that is? Tom, don't call me Tommy Shaw, says Smith versus Locke. This will go worldwide. Second only to Bridgewater and Locke. Oh, yeah, dude. I'm here for it. I wish I was in Seattle right now so I could cover this quarterback battle. Maybe we'll bust over there. What do you think? I just did it. More exciting QB battle, Locke, Bridgewater, or Locke and Smith? 4 votes so far. Nobody cares about it. They're probably mad and think I'm being serious. Well, I'm kind of being serious. It's a 50-50 lock right now. Dude, it's a 50-50 lock, Jades. What was more excited? Exciting. You can't tell me it was just easily Locke and Bridgewater because the Broncos were bad. Seattle's bad now, too, though. That's why it's a fun poll question, dude. All right, 28 minutes after the hour, we're going to step aside. I'm going to bring Tanner Schwint in here. We're going to talk Rockies. Rockies are coming up at 1:45. He's not hosting Rockies Rundown today because why, Jades? The Rockies are coming up at 1:45. So we'll give Tanner his little Rockies feel here. He's going all back in, dude. He's doubling back down. Maybe he can convince me to jump on. I think they're going to get a W today. They're going to do it. We'll bring him on next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What are you doing to me, Jades? I'm going to have to get in better shape if you're going to keep playing stuff like this, okay? Whew, I'm tired. Tanner Schwint, how are you, man? Take it from here.
All right, I got it. who was that? What was it?
Ramstein or Ramstein? Is it Ramstein or Ramstein? Stein?
Stein.
Ramstein. Michael just walked in. Got the Rockies coming up at 1:45. Match today at 1:45.
They're getting the dub. San Francisco sliding a little bit less lately, and the Rockies have been pitching really well. And I think it's, when you look at that pitching staff, I think it's going to be contagious. You've seen a couple of really solid starts. Herman had struggled in the first inning of that one, then came back, pitched really well. You talk about Cinzy yesterday. That's a one-run ball game going into extra innings. I mean, it's 1-1.
And your boy had an unfortunate error.
Charlie Blackman, you said best this morning. Charlie Blackman giveth and Charlie Blackman taketh away.
And I still don't know if they pull off the win in that situation anyway.
No, you got to induce a ground ball. I mean, if it's a pop fly, you get a sack fly and they win anyways, but you at least want a shot at it.
Right.
And
right.
Especially after you set the precedent not to run on you because he threw a guy out earlier in the game at home plate that kept it a 1-1 ball game. So that was very unfortunate. But this is what we've been saying about Charlie, right? I mean, this is why he should be the DH.
He does struggle in the outfield. I mean, yep. He's still going to give you moments when it comes to hitting the ball, but I think for the last 2 or 3 years.
Yes. That's a lot of miles he's put on those legs playing center field at Coors Field.
But was it the game before? He was everywhere in the outfield. Like, he was doing everything. So he's still going to have those moments. It's hard to knock the guy, though.
Yeah, it is. But that's the leadership you want to see, right? You're on a club that's 8 games below 500 here in June.
Right.
You want your veterans to step up. And I think if and when Chris Bryant does get back and get healthy, which I did see he's swinging a bat, so maybe we're getting closer to that. If and when he gets healthy.
There was a part of me at one point that wondered if maybe they were just going to shut him down and get surgery.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to try and run it back. I think the Rockies will pressure Chris Bryant into playing this year, right, wrong, or indifferent, because they have made a multitude of bad decisions. And
the thing that bothers me about, we were bragging about Bill Schmidt a lot. if every report that we're reading is true, his injury was known amongst managers, maybe not amongst us common folk,
but they knew about it. They knew about it when they signed him.
Yeah, and if this doesn't pan out, it's going to be a really bad look for him. And again, at the beginning of the season, I thought maybe he's going to be a really good manager.
That was supposed to be your home run, right? Jose Iglesias has been solid over at short.
Yeah.
You look at what Chad Kuhl's done. He's been solid. So you made a lot of solid acquisitions. Your home run was supposed to be Chris Bryant.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been on the field. And you can't hit home runs if you're not on the field, last time I checked.
That's true. That's the last time I checked. My riveting poll question on Twitter, more exciting quarterback battle, Locke, Bridgewater, or Locke and Smith? It's 50-50. It's a dead lock right now.
Nice. Neither? Can I vote neither?
No, you have to pick one.
They were both bad. They're both
Seattle's going to be bad.
I don't know. I don't. Teddy's more boring than Geno Smith, so I guess I'll go with.
Yeah, Teddy's the most boring quarterback that's ever been a quarterback.
Teddy, check down.
I mean, maybe him or Joe Flacco, but Flacco had a moment. Efforting Music. Efforting Music. Jades, almost called you the wrong name. Efforting Music. Where's the Efforting Music?
He's efforting to get Efforting Music.
We need efforting for your Efforting Music. I literally can't start Googling until you type that in because I don't want people to hear the typing. That's the whole point of that. Now you know. Where is he?
Miami, right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Had it right
the
whole time.
Jace. Good job. I don't know if it was worth all the work that I put him through to Google this stuff.
That's all right. I thought it was Miami, but yeah, Teddy Bridgewater's terrible. Who cares anymore? We don't have a quarterback battle. I couldn't tell you who the backup is. Is it Brett Rippon or
no? It's Josh. Come on, Josh something. It's Josh
not
something.
Jackson.
Something like that. Why can I not think of the? It's not Brett Rippon. Efforting Music.
I'll stop asking questions after this one, I promise.
Josh Johnson.
Johnson.
Thanks, Jace. So,
I'm tired of talking about quarterback battles. I'm so happy right now we are not talking about this. We still got the Avs to talk about.
We don't have the Avs to talk about, though, right?
9 more days.
I mean, who would you rather? That's our real Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Who would you rather see the Avs face? Does it matter?
No, you don't want to face Tampa Bay.
Does it matter? They're both beating the hell out of each other. Is Tampa Bay getting hot, though?
They've got the experience there. They've won the back-to-back Stanley Cups. I don't think you want to see Tampa Bay. And when their goaltender gets hot, I mean, he is one of the, if not the best goaltender in the NHL. So I don't think you want to run into Tampa Bay. They know what they've been doing. They've obviously won a couple. They've been there. I think you'd rather play in New York.
All right, well, there you go. Let's see.
Where's it sitting? Are the people agreeing with me?
I don't know. I pulled up way too many things Googling. Rangers. They'd rather see the Rangers. So, yes, that works. Yep, 77% of the hooligans are saying the Rangers at this point.
That's a smart decision right there. You got to see the Rangers. I think you'll beat either team. I do think the Avs are destined to win this thing after the last couple of years saying, oh, this ought to be their year. Oh, this ought to be their year. I think Joe Sakic and what he did, he's literally outshining Jared Bednar as a coach, and I think Bednar's done a pretty good job. But the acquisitions that he's got, Lecky scores the game-winning goal in Game 4.
Before the trade deadline, we wondered if it felt like the Avs were a contender no matter what. And Sakic said, no, we need more. We got to get better. And he did.
And that's the difference between good and great teams. You go and get those guys who can plug and play, that have that experience. You know, Lecky scored the game-winning goal in the Western Conference Finals last year to send that team to the Stanley Cup Finals, too. So
if the Avs win the Stanley Cup, and then maybe they go win another one.
He's starting to threaten that
way. Does Joe Sakic start? I'm talking a lot about Nikola Jokic, but
he's starting to threaten.
Let's face it, Joker's never going to go beyond playing.
No.
He's not going to come back here. He's not going to wear a suit and tie and make decisions. He's going to be messing with horses in Serbia.
Yeah.
If they do win a couple.
Sakic?
Because he's on the Mount Rushmore. It's Elway. Sakic is second.
Yes.
There's no argument anymore. Sakic is second, and if he does what he does as a GM better than Elway, which Elway has a Super Bowl still, and Elway's been to two Super Bowls as a GM kind of VP or whatever you want to call it. So, and again, people like to just forget about all that stuff because the last 6 years were so bad.
Right?
But he did bring a lot of success to the Broncos. So Sakic still has some work to go in that area, but it's still hockey. football versus hockey. I mean, football's number one. Yeah. Hockey's number four, probably, right? Or is it number three now? I don't know.
I think it's in the state of Colorado. In the state of Colorado right now, it's number one. The Broncos probably still.
The Broncos could be terrible for 20 years, and people would still put the Broncos over the Avs. I would think so.
I would say right now in the state of Colorado, it's and a lot of it's just because of the fever of the Stanley Cup, but it's Broncos, Avs, Nuggets, Rockies.
I've said this for years.
Rapids.
Rapids.
Soccer. I forgot they were professional
I think
team.
Colorado could share with the Rockies. But the Rockies suck so bad historically. Sorry, but
no,
it's
they
true.
Do. Oh, what do you say? It's hard.
The
for?
Amount
it's
of the times truth. The Avs have missed the playoffs is equal to the amount of times the Rockies have made the playoffs. Like the Avs have missed it like what, six times? The Rockies have made the playoffs like five.
No, it's true. But Colorado's a hockey state. I mean, you saw DU go win the NCAA championship as well.
But you saw Rocktober.
Oh, yeah, 2007.
And how crazy that was. Jades went to the All-Star game, and that was absolutely nuts. And I know it's the All-Star game, but still,
right.
The environment's there. People love baseball in this state. The Rockies just have not given them any real hope other than Rocktober.
I may argue with you that people love baseball in this state. I think people love Coors Field in this state.
Yeah, but imagine if Coors Field had good baseball.
Well, I don't even—and that's it. I don't think you need the diehards, because the diehards are going anyways— But when the Rockies are good, you get the everyday common fan who then, this team's not 8 games below 500. Oh, this is a meaningful game. Maybe let's not be on our phone for the entire game. We can watch a couple of innings. That's really the difference. But Sakic is making a really good push at Elway. If he goes and wins, let's say he wins, does the unthinkable, wins three in a row.
Let's say they win three Stanley Cups during the rest of his career.
A 1A and 1B.
He'd be responsible for five Stanley Cups. I mean, he was the leader of the team when they won their Stanley Cups. He was the guy.
But you never see this anymore. You see when the Avs won the Western Conference final, they looked at Joe to say, do we touch the cup or do we not? Like, I've never seen professional
sport. Red Sea's parted to look at Daddy's Joe Sakic. Yes. Like, what do we do, Joe?
Do we touch it or not? And he's like, go ahead.
Touch it, guys. Yeah. Go for it. Like, nobody was looking at Elway for that stuff.
No.
They're like, where's that? He's not here.
He's hammered on the golf course.
There it is. All right, we got Rockies.
They're winning.
We got Giants coming up. Austin Gomber.
Plus 210.
Let's go. I'm with you on this one. Today, we are our Rockies fans. We believe they're going to win the series against San Francisco. Good night, Northern Colorado.
Rockies Baseball. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The first two games, he swings and bounces a two-hopper to the shortstop. Walton gets it over to Darren Ruff. And we're underway. Bright sunshine today.